Parshat Kedoshim on loving others. Located squarely in Leviticus, Parshat Kedoshim literally means holy ones. And indeed, it's primarily concerned with mitzvot, holy acts by which Jews honor themselves, God, and creation itself. The parsha begins with Leviticus 19. God commands Moses to speak to all of the people of Israel. You shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. Among the series of commandments that follow, the most famous by far, perhaps the best known in all of Torah, is V'ahavta l'reyecha kamocha, love your fellow as yourself. Sometimes translated as love your neighbor as yourself. This verse is famous for good reason. Rabbi Akiva taught, Ze klal gadol b'Torah, this is the fundamental principle of Torah. What a beautiful and always timely reminder that Judaism is all about love. Yes, it's about justice. Yes, it's about halakha. Yes, it's about a lot of things. But the core of Judaism, the heart itself, is love. Judaism is sometimes unfairly boxed in as cold, archaic, out of touch, and concerned purely with the law. Much of this is the result of Christian thinkers who have traditionally argued that Christianity is about love, while Judaism is about law. This misconception is as old as the Apostle Paul, and was fortified as early as Augustine. But that cannot be further from the truth. Love has always been central to Judaism. There's a beautiful story from the Talmud in which a proselyte comes before Hillel, a rabbinic sage from the first century Common Era. The man challenges Hillel to teach him the entire Torah while he, the proselyte, stands on one foot. One might imagine that this is an attempt to humiliate Hillel, as it's such a ridiculous seeming demand. However, the 17th century commentator, the Kli Yakar, teaches us that this man was sincerely asking Hillel to convey to him the foundation upon which all of Torah is built. And Hillel obliges. He does not rebuff the man, but instead teaches, that which is hateful to you, do not do it to your fellow. That is the entire Torah. The rest is commentary. Go and learn. Again, we see the principle of Leviticus 19:18 enshrined at the heart of Judaism. Treat others as you treat yourself. Love them as you love yourself. Again and again, we come back to love. And there are so many kinds of love. Often people hear the word love and they think romance, love between two partners. Of course, that's an important kind of love, but it's one of many. There's platonic love, for example, a non-sexual connection via an exchange of ideas, as articulated by the Greek philosopher Plato himself. There's the love between a parent and a child, love between siblings, between friends. There's Ahavat Hashem, the love of God. After all, we're commanded to love God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, and with all of our might. There's Ahavat Hager, the love of the stranger. And there's, as our Parsha reminds us, the imperative to love our fellow. It should be acknowledged that to the rabbis of the Talmud, Reyecha, what we have translated as your fellow, refers to your fellow Jew. This reflects the historical reality where Jews tended to live in community with fellow Jews, in Jewish quarters or even in Jewish ghettos. We shouldn't be ashamed of that. It's beautiful to love the Jews with whom we are in community with, our fellow covenantal partners. This is a both and situation. We can love both our fellow Jews and the ger, the stranger, the non-Jew. In fact, the Sifra, which offers Midrashim on the book of Leviticus, connects the verse of V'yahavta l'reyecha kamocha to other places in Torah where God reminds us that once we ourselves were strangers. You shall not oppress a stranger, for you know the soul of the stranger, having yourselves been strangers in the land of Egypt. In this way, every ger is also reyecha, someone to love as we love ourselves. Of course, in today's world, we tend to live within more diversity. Thank God we no longer live in Jewish ghettos. We may live side by side with Jews and Gentiles. It behooves us, therefore, to take a more expansive approach to this verse, to understand that Reyecha can refer to whomever we are in community with at various times, regardless of religious affiliation. So how do we understand what love is? For this, we might turn to the late brilliant bell hooks, who wrote, the word love is most often defined as a noun. Yet all the more astute theorists of love acknowledge that we would all love better if we used it as a verb. Love is an action. More than a feeling, love is an action. To love someone is to take care of them. Consider the signing of a ketubah at a wedding. This may be part of a marriage process, but it's not a written declaration of romantic feelings. No, a ketubah is a series of contractual obligations. It's about the action of love as a couple promises to take care of each other in concrete ways. It's also important to consider what love is not. Love is not control, for example. And love is not an abandonment of self, submitting totally to the welfare of the other without any concern for your own welfare. That's why we are instructed to love your fellow, kamocha, as yourself. This is a two-way commandment. We're being instructed to love others as we love ourselves, and to love ourselves as we love others. When we strengthen our ability to show love and compassion to ourselves, it ultimately strengthens our ability to show love and compassion to the other people in our lives and beyond. When we see value in our own dignity and our own essence, when we see value in loving ourselves, which as we have seen means caring for ourselves, this expands our capacity to love others as well. And yet I want to add that while it's true that taking care of ourselves equips us to take care of others, it's a value to take care of ourselves, full stop. Taking care of myself is also serving the whole world. Meaning self-love and self-care doesn't just have value because it ultimately helps us take care of others. It has value in its own right. To serve the world is to care for others, yes, but taking care of yourself is service to the world. As our sages taught us, whoever saves a single life is considered by scripture to have saved the whole world. This includes you. If each life is the whole world, that includes your life. An important caveat here. I'm not trying to enable a narcissist who has no interest in caring for others, whose entire life is about taking care of their own needs, and who sees others as tools. Nor, on the other hand, am I critiquing someone who is deeply traumatized and needs to completely prioritize self-care. The verse of our parsha commanding to love others as we love ourselves actually functions to put a check on both extremes. It's a model for self-love that extends to others, and to love others that extends to ourselves. There's many different heights of love to achieve. Some people can really only love their family. Some can only love their immediate community. Some can only love those who think like them. I don't say this with judgment. Everyone comes from different places, and it's important we understand that each person has had a difficult life and set of experiences. And this might affect how expansive their circle of care becomes. But the highest form of love, we can agree, is divine love. God loves everyone and everything. Part of tefillah and spiritual practice in general is giving ourselves the experiences of zooming out. Even if it is just for a moment, prayer can allow us to enter the divine place of holding love and compassion for the whole world, truly emanating love towards all of creation. After all, what does it truly mean for us to say v'ahavta with the deepest intentionality? Perhaps it means that in the act of loving ourselves and each other, we become closer to God, who is pure love. If we embrace a theology where all is God, the boundary between the self and the other begins to fall away, or at least to become more porous. This might not be a sustainable place to live. Boundaries are necessary, but it is a beautiful, sacred place to enter in times of prayer. It reminds us that we want to live in a world where we see our fate entwined with the fate of others, our welfare and safety entwined with that of others. We want to live in a world where the highest value is love. Shabbat Shalom.